Thank you so much, Lord, for your many blessings. And thank you that we are all unified in your spirit, Lord, whether we're here at home, whether the technology works or not. There's one spirit and one God. Now, Father, open our hearts and minds to your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I don't know why my voice would go. Everything else is going, right? You know, when we first joined the CEC, when was that, 26 years ago? Is that right?
Yeah.
26 years.
25 and a half.
25 and a half is the same age as my son, although I can't remember my own age. So, well, good with that, dude. But we had to get used to having a wired band. You know, and I wasn't a charismatic, and I was like, I'm not going to raise my hand. I'm not going to do that in church. And so we had to get used to all these things. Like, again, our band was plugged in, you know. And now, 25 and a half years later, we have to get used to a plugged in church, a wired church, right? And so I came up with a new saying. It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the wired church. All right. Well, praise God, we'll be able to continue to keep this going. When you got the link for the service for this Sunday, Father Bill sent that email out. And one of the things that he said at the beginning of that was pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's Pentecost. And that's right. And that is a thing that we desire. And it's a thing that God desires for us as well. And in fact, he desires for it always for us, not just on the day of Pentecost, but all the time. And it started making me think about that a little bit. Okay, what is it that we're asking for here? What is it we're talking about? Hey, I didn't even see you come in. Hi. So you see, you threw me off. No. But let's discuss what we are talking about or what we're asking for with this fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, okay? You know, what does that conjure up in your mind? Maybe we go back to those old Pentecostal things, you know, getting all wild-eyed and, you know, swinging from the ceiling fan and bringing out your snakes and, you know, that kind of, we put the snakes away. And, or tongues of fire coming and resting on your head, you know, like a halo, not burning your hair. And or perhaps it's the ability then to touch anyone or anything and heal it. You know, these are some of those kind of things that come into your mind as expectations that we wonder about when we're talking about a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, what is it really that we're asking for? Okay. You know, obviously we spent in this church and the larger church as well, talking a lot about how it's all relationship, right? I mean, every sermon we preach is about relationship, on and on and on, you know? And, you know, other ethereal things like that, you know? But today we're going to get practical. We're going to get practical and we're going to talk about, this is a practicum of the charismatic, so to speak, okay? Now, it's not an exhaustive practicum, I apologize. It's just a primer because you don't want to be here for days. Okay. But you know, when we talk about these things and we think of a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the spiritual gifts. And, you know, it's usual to talk about these things on the Pentecost. You heard about that a little bit in the passage from Acts today. And of course, all these people, the apostles, were speaking in different kinds of tongues. And it's usually what we talk about with the manifestation of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts. And we are a church that is charismatic, you know? I mean, it's actually on the wall out front. It's on the sign out front in the name. And so we ought to spend some time talking about it. Well, a charism, as you probably all know, is a gift. It's something that's given to you, okay? It's like, here, you can have this thing, okay? Well, that's great. But this gift is a little bit different. Okay. Let me explain that in a minute. You know, there's one type of gift, like say for Christmas, I got a very nice coffee mug with Dr. McCoy from Star Trek on it. And, you know, that's mine. I'm keeping it and I use it every morning and nobody else can use it. See, that's one type of gift. Thank you, Elizabeth. But a charismatic gift is somewhat different. All right. This is a gift that's given to you for others. is to be used for others. And we know that within this group of charismatic gifts, there are different gifts. I mean, we all know this. We've read 1 Corinthians 12. We know it. But I want you to try and think of those charisms as tools, right? They're tools. You know, I use tools frequently. Carpentry, I'm making this sign for our house that's out of a big piece of oak, and I had to turn my Dremel tool into a router, and it was a lot of fun. And you know, I work on my car, tinker with it a little bit. You got to use socket sets and things like that. I cut the grass, and so you have to use tools for that, like a lawnmower. Firewood, I cut firewood, so you got to use a chainsaw. In my profession, I use medical tools, stethoscopes and scalpels and hemostats and scissors and lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. I won't go into any more about that. But one thing I've found over the years is that you can never have enough tools. Much to my wife's chagrin. I have to go out and buy a new tool. Oh, there's always another one out there you need, you know? And Jim, thank you for loaning me the 10 millimeter articulated flare nut wrench. It fits perfectly, although I've been afraid to do the job yet. Maybe we're near there. So we'll talk more. So, tools aid us in the work that we do. That's what a tool is, okay? And so do the spiritual gifts, all right? Now, people have talked a lot about things like speaking in tongues. Everybody talks about speaking in tongues. You know, you heard speaking in tongues here a little while ago. Maybe you're hearing speaking in tongues right now. I don't know. And, you know, I have the gift of tongues. But rarely do I have the gift of interpretation. You understand that you don't interpret your own tongue because you would just be speaking in English, okay? You interpret somebody else's tongue if you have that gift or if you're given that gift. And the tongues, if it's not interpreted, only edifies me, not everybody else, because you don't know what I'm saying. But it does edify me because it draws me into a deeper place, into that deeper place with the Lord. But it doesn't really do much for other people. So you see, then we always come up to this question of, well, should I be silent in church then? Should I not pray in tongues? Problem is, I don't know if somebody else is going to interpret it. And if I don't do it, then we'll have no chance of hearing if there, we might have missed a word from the Lord. And I know somebody who has the gift of interpretation. You all know Becky Baker. And, you know, when that would happen, it's a powerful, powerful thing in the Lord. You know, somebody says this gobbledygook, and then there's this word that just bam, bam, right on target. It's a powerful manifestation of the Spirit, you see. And I wish somebody had the gift of interpretation now. Maybe we should pray for that, huh? There's a thought. So you see, tongues is just a tool to help me pray and get closer into God until somebody can interpret it for all. And then it becomes a tool to encourage all. We talked about prophecy. We know about that. You know, we move in the prophetic in this church as well, too. I have prophesied before on occasion, but I am not a prophet. I, you know, can hear a word from the Lord on occasion, but there are those who hear from the Lord all the time, and they have the gift, the office, the ministry of prophet. And there are several in this church as well that, you know, walk in that gift. And, you know, for me, it may just be a specific circumstance. You know, God gives a word of prophecy. It's just as the Holy Spirit decides. We think of words of knowledge. This is another one. I'm not talking about going to school and getting a degree. Okay. This is supernatural knowledge about something or someone that can make a difference for them in their situation. It always builds up, this word does, and it always helps push them through some kind of obstacle or barrier in their life. And it is completely under the control of the Spirit because it is not knowledge that you would have otherwise. You may think of all the other charisms, okay? You know, wisdom and faith and healing, of course, miracles, distinguishing of spirits, administration is a gift as well. I won't go into all of that. You've heard them before. You've been around for a little while. You've experienced them. You probably even use them from time to time. If you need a reminder, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, probably. So what I ask you right now, after we've kind of thought about this and you're thinking about spiritual gifts, is which gifts do you think you have already? You know? I mean, which ones do you think they come up in your mind? I'm sure you've thought about this before. Which gifts do you think that the Holy Spirit has used in you from time to time, maybe even only just once in your experience, perhaps, maybe more? Well, you know, whatever you have come up with, the answer is you actually have all of them all the time. Oh, all of them all the time? You see, the Holy Spirit has that capacity in you to use anything he needs at any time. He needs it. You really can't say, well, I don't have the gift of, you know, healing or miracles, you know. Well, sure you do. If God desires for you to have that and needs that in that situation. And if you think, you know, God hasn't given me any of these, well, it's not that he hasn't given you everything yet, you know. You may just not have needed that gift yet, or you may not know that it's at your disposal, and that's why I'm preaching the sermon. For instance, you know, I mean, maybe you didn't know you had the ability to or capacity to heal somebody until you try. Say, can I pray for you? Can I just put my hand on you and ask God to heal you? He may indeed do it, but not if you don't try. You see, all the gifts are available to you. All of them are possible. You don't have to be wearing a white dress. Anyone here who is baptized in the Holy Spirit may. You know, I was trying to organize my toolbox the other day because I can't find them all. And I was trying to find a socket. You know, where is that socket? You know, it took me like half hour to find the 12 millimeter socket. You know, and if you don't know you have a certain tool, it's not much use. You can't use it. It's no good. So you got to know where it is. You got to know that it's there. You got to know that it's here. So what I'm trying to share is that we need an attitude of expectation. An expectation that the Holy Spirit can use us any way he decides. Cool. You see, don't rule out something by saying, oh, I've never had the gift of, you know, administration, whatever. You see, when you're talking with other people or when you're working with them or, you know, any interaction that you have with humans, it's a matter of expecting the Spirit to work in those situations. I mean, if you aren't expected and if you're afraid of the gifts, you won't be able to use them. You know, if I have a chainsaw, but I'm afraid to turn it on, it doesn't work very well. You know, it's like, bam, 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 that thing doesn't work. It's so frustrating if you don't turn it on. But you see, you have the capacity, brothers and sisters, for great things, for miracles and healings. You were given a full toolbox. Maybe that's this title for the sermon, full toolbox. You catch that, whoever? Okay. You know, all that said, stuff that I said about, you know, being in Christ, you know, about how it's him who works through you and that it's not about striving or working for favor with him or, you know, working your way up the ladder towards God, you know. You've heard this word from the bishop. You've heard this from all of us. You've heard it from very different parts of the church at larger as well, too. You know, I even found this on a website just to illustrate this to you. It said in chapter 10 of John's gospel, Jesus tells us that he came that we might have life and have it to the full. In other words, John is saying that this new life in Christ brings, that Christ brings us, is complete. It is abundant. Jesus did not measure his gifts. He gives over and above. And that came from the Carmelite Sisters of the Most Sacred Heart of Los Angeles. The same word that you've been hearing throughout his church Jesus does not measure his gifts. The Holy Spirit is fully in you. He brought with him everything that he needs. He didn't leave some of it back in heaven. Okay? The Holy Spirit, God, the master craftsman, he knows how to operate all the tools. He knows how to guide you through this, if you'll let him. Now, realizing that you have all the tools, all the gifts available, frees him to use them. In good modernism, we'll say he empowers us, literally. So if you say, oh, I don't have the gift of administration, well, then it's hard for him to get you organized. It's only a matter of being expectant. Because we know that you know the Lord. We know that you know his power. We know that you have seen and experienced the Holy Spirit. So it's just a matter of expecting the Holy Spirit. Now, here in a little bit, you know, it's not unheard of that on the day of Pentecost, we invite people to come forward for possibly a impartation of the gifts, you know, for prayer and anointing. And maybe you'd like to have the gift of prophecy so you know what stocks to invest in. No, I'm kidding. Sorry. Sorry, Lord. So you come and you ask for the gift of prophecy, you know. The problem is you already have the gift of prophecy. It's already there in the toolbox. But if you want to come forward for a new gift or a new expression of a gift, remember that you are coming for a special anointing, gift of tongues interpretation, which you could pray for. You can come asking for grace from God to allow the Spirit to work through you in this gift that you're interested in. So number one, just ask God for his grace upon you. And by the way, what I was thinking is that at the time of communion, if the Holy Spirit is moving you towards this, then when you receive the body and blood of Christ, you may remain and one of us will come by and pray and anoint you. That would be a time to do that, having complete unity with the body and blood of Christ, him inside of you. So number one, just ask for his grace upon you. Number two, the gifts are there for others. They aren't there for you to predict the stock market, okay? We are for others. We are to be concerned and compassionate towards other people. We are to love them and show them mercy and compassion. It's our calling in life, all of us. We use the charismatic gifts for others. Paul told the Corinthians, so also you, since you are zealous for the spiritual gifts, seek to abound for the edification of the church. Peter tells us each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. So number two, your gifts are for other people. Number three, foster an attitude of expectation. Maybe that's what you want to come and ask for, is it, Lord, give me the expectation that you're going to work in and through me. Expect that God will move. Expect that God can use you, even in a miraculous way. Scripture tells us that we are given different gifts, different times as he decides. But he can use you in the circumstance any way he wants. That's the attitude of expectation that I'm talking about. But you know, if you don't think you're capable, then you aren't. But if you trust the Holy Spirit, then you are. It's pretty easy, doesn't it? A miraculous demonstration of a spiritual gift is a very powerful way to love people and to increase their faith. And we live in a world that needs that, don't we? So if you want a fresh impartation of the Spirit, be willing to use it for other people, whether it's in the church or out in the world, because that's its purpose. You see, it's not about getting some magic power or a new tool. It's actually about loving people enough to step out in faith and let the Spirit use you. Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, what did I actually say there? I said, it's about loving people. Huh. You know what it really is about in a relationship? After all, relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, and others. That's the whole point of it. So again, remember, if you do desire, if the Lord leads you to come up and stay at the altar after you've received the body and blood, because God has equipped you with everything you need to love people, then come forward and ask God, one, to use you any way he can by his grace. Two, remember that the gifts are for other people. And three, be expectant. Nothing else, just pray for expectation that God can use you. Expect the Holy Spirit of God to use you any way he sees fit. And be open to that. Amen.